And Lord, we thank you for your word, and we pray that this evening you would speak into each of our lives in a way, Lord, that would enable us not only to hear, but to receive and be transformed and shaped, Lord, in accordance with your word. So we pray, come Holy Spirit, may your word be our rule, may the Holy Spirit be our teacher, and may the glory of Jesus be our only concern. Amen. So, as I said at the beginning, it's great being here this evening. It's always a joy for me to come back to Dollingstown or Marilyn, where in some ways it all began a long time ago whenever I was a curate here. I was thinking over this last couple of days that the last confirmation service that I attended in this parish was about 33 years ago. So it's about time that I was back for another one. And I love confirmation services. I want to say that up front at the very beginning. I never thought I'd be saying that, but I really do love confirmation services, and I love them for a number of reasons. I love them, first of all, because it's an opportunity for people to stand up and publicly proclaim and confess that they're going to follow Jesus Christ all of their lives. And often, large numbers of young people doing that. So it's a real, real privilege to be part of a confirmation service for that reason. That's a wonderful thing, that people tonight are going to say that for the rest of their days, they're going to pursue following Jesus. That for the rest of their lives, they're going to follow Jesus Christ as Lord, and they're going to seek to draw closer and closer to him. Confirmation services also give me the opportunity to share with others, often the family and friends, chiefly the family and friends, actually, in this season of those who are being confirmed, what it really means to follow Jesus, what it really means to be a real Christian in today's world. And often there are those who are present who are asking questions around that as well, and it's my prayer that some of those questions might be answered tonight for some of you who are present. And then thirdly, a confirmation service gives me the opportunity to lay hands on those being confirmed and simply to pray the confirmation prayer, which is that you would increase, those being confirmed would increase in the Holy Spirit more and more until you come to the joys of God's eternal kingdom. And then having prayed that prayer, I continue to pray simply as the Holy Spirit in that moment leads me to pray with each of you. So confirmation services for me are actually really special times. And I pray that this confirmation service this evening will have all of those three things about it. That it will be a time when the 11 being confirmed will actually publicly say, yes, 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 I'm going to follow Jesus. That it will be an opportunity, perhaps even this evening, when someone or someone's here will choose to begin that journey of following Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And actually that opportunity as well, where we will ask for more of the Holy Spirit in each of our lives. Now, none of that would be strange to any of you. And I want to thank your rector. I want to take a moment, actually, to do that this evening. I want to thank Simon for his leadership in this place. I want to thank him for his teaching ministry. I want to thank him for his leadership. I want to thank him for his pastoral ministry. I want to say this to you, that if you cut Simon Janot down the middle, what you find is pure integrity. Here's a man who actually puts Christ at the center of his ministry, who's not counting the minutes or the hours, and that's how it ought to be for any servant of Christ, for anyone in ministry, for anyone who seeks to follow Jesus in any sort of ministry, and indeed for all of us, that actually Christ is central, and that Christ is best, and that Christ is all in how we live our lives. So, Simon, thank you for your leadership in these churches of Dollingstown and Marilyn. Now, I want to get down to our reading. And I want to take just a few moments to home in on the second reading that was read for us this evening. Those being confirmed tonight are confirming that they're giving their yes to Jesus. No longer are any of you leaving it up to somebody else to speak for you. You're saying that you're all in for God and that you want to live your whole life, all of your life, following Jesus Christ. Years back, Hilary and I were invited to a wedding. You know how it is at weddings. You sometimes arrive and you don't know many of the other guests. And it was one of those weddings where we knew the groom really, really well. We actually didn't know the bride at all. And we really didn't know any of the groom's family or the bride's family. And we were brought into the church and we were sat down beside this elderly couple that I didn't know either, but discovered actually very soon that I knew his son quite well. And as we're sitting there, he begins to ask me a number of questions about who I was and so on. And then as the conversation moved on, I began to ask him some questions. He was a very elderly gentleman. He was at least 90 at that particular point in his life. And I ended up saying to him, well, how are you? I knew by this time who he was. I knew that he was the father of somebody that I knew really well. And I said to him, well, you know, how are you? And he paused and he said this. He said, well, David, I gave my life to Christ many, many years ago. I'm no longer able to do all the things that I used to do, but what I can do, I still do, and I spend as much time as I can praying and in God's presence. Then he paused again and he said this, because, you know, whenever I gave my life to Christ all of those years ago, I gave all of my life to Christ. I gave him all of my years. And even though I'm not able to do the things that I used to do, I still love him. I'm still following him. And I still want to live out the rest of my days for him. And I went, wow, I hope that when I'm 90, that I'll still be saying that. And you know, that's my prayer for each of you that are being confirmed this evening. That as the years go by, you will love Jesus more. That Christ will become more and more precious to you. That you actually will go on being filled with the Holy Spirit more and more all the days of your life. And that you would give your whole life, every aspect of your life to Jesus Christ. And all of your years to following Jesus Christ. Tonight, those who are being confirmed will confirm that you are going to resist or reject, rather, the devil and all pride in how we rebel against God. That you will renounce, give your no, as it were, to being deceived by the temptations that he throws your way. And that you repent of everything that might separate you from God and from others. And then you will affirm, you will give your yes and say, yes, 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 I turn to Christ. Yes, 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 I'm going to follow Jesus Christ as Lord. Yes, you're going to be my way in life. Yes, you're going to be the truth that I want to know and own and make my own. And yes, I'm going to live my life for Jesus Christ all of my days. And that life I want to call tonight the good life. And I want to home in on these verses in Matthew chapter 5. The good life, not necessarily an easy life, sometimes actually quite a tough life, but a life that's the good life, and it's good because Jesus is at its center. Verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. This good life, this life of following Jesus and these words here, is compared to being like salt. Salt in our lives. Now the thing about salt is this, that salt has got a peculiar taste. Salt has got a taste all of its own. Nobody has ever tried to reproduce salt with some other chemical, or if they have, they certainly haven't succeeded. There's something really distinctive about the taste of salt. And the other thing about salt is that it flavors absolutely everything that it comes in contact with. Friends, when Jesus comes into our lives, we begin to live all of our lives for Jesus Christ. We become different. There's a new distinct flavor. There's a new distinct attitude about how we do life. The Bible actually uses the term born again to describe that. It's so new, it's so radical, it's so different. And every aspect of our lives begins to have a Christ-likeness. Every aspect of our living should have that distinctive Christ-likeness about it. Our lives should add value everywhere that we go. And our lives should be distinctive wherever we're living out our calling as followers of Jesus Christ. We may be poor or we may be rich, but whatever we have, whatever we own, we actually is only of value in so far as it enables us to live better lives as followers of Jesus Christ. We may be well educated, we may not be well educated, but again, everything that comes our way needs to be used in the service of Christ and for the glory of Christ. So who we are as friends, who we are as sons or daughters, who we are as parents or grandparents, there should be a distinctive Christ-likeness about my life and about yours that finds its way into every aspect of your living and mine, in our homes, in our families, with our friends, in our social settings, in our workplaces, in the public places where we live out our lives, in the private places where no one else can see us. There should be a distinctive Christ-likeness about your life and about my life. Because salt finds its way into every crevice that it comes in contact with. And Christ wants to be Lord in every aspect of my life and yours, adding value to our lives so that we live a life for God, a life that is in every way flavored with the life of Jesus Christ, where there's a Christ-likeness about every aspect of our living. The second thing about salt is that salt is a preservative. Before the days of freezers and fridges, salt was used to keep meat and to keep fish fresh. And again, if we want to follow Jesus, we really do need to learn to say no to sin and to living any aspect of our lives without reference to the Word of God, without reference to being led by the Spirit of God, without reference to who Jesus Christ is. We need to learn to turn away from sin. We need to learn to say no to temptation. We need to ask God for strength to say no, so that we break habits that would keep us at a distance from God and live our whole lives for Jesus Christ. That's why, as part of confirmation preparation, and I'm not going to put you to the test on this one, but understanding the commandments of God, the Ten Commandments, is part of that confirmation preparation, where we learn that there is one Lord, one God, that we should have no other gods before Him, that we should not make for ourselves any idol, that we should not dishonor the name of the Lord our God, that we should remember His day and keep it holy, that we should honor our parents, our father, and our mother, that we should not commit murder, that we should not commit adultery, that we should not steal, that we should not tell lies or bear false witness, that we should not covet anything that belongs to others. Now, these are rules, but they're more than rules. They point us to Jesus. And salt, as a preservative, deals with the rot in our lives, the sin in our lives. And I want to say to those being confirmed, there will be times where you will fall and mess up and get it wrong. We all have. But the key is this: quickly repent. Quickly say you're sorry. Quickly get going again. Quickly make sure that Christ is kept at the center of your lives. That we go on loving the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength all the days of our lives. Paul said, "For I delight in your law. I delight in the law of God in my innermost being." So in terms of this comparison to our lives being like salt, following Jesus has got to impact every aspect of our living. Not just the hour on a Sunday, but every other aspect of our lives. And we do need to learn increasingly to allow Christ to purify our lives, to cleanse our lives, to show us those areas in our lives that we need to bring correction to show us those sins that we need to repent of, so that we increasingly become Christ-like. And then secondly, that leads us on to this second comparison that we're given here about the Christian life. You're the light of the world, verses 14 to 16. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Christians are called to be light in the world. We're called to light up society around us. We're called to live lives that would shine brightly for Jesus. Our lives should be like lamps that will point others to Jesus. Now here's the question. Are you and I, by the lives that we're living, leading other people to Christ? Are we giving people clear direction as to where they will see Jesus and meet with Jesus? I asked your rector the other day, when was the last time he led somebody to Christ? That's a question, Simon, that I'd like you to ask your congregation often. I'd like you to ask every member of your staff team often. When last did they lead somebody to Jesus? Are they regularly leading people to Christ? I'd like you to ask your select vestry that question too. Are they leading people to Christ? Because that's the task of the whole church. That's the task of the body of Christ, to see people come to know Christ. I was curate here all of 10 days when at my second staff meeting, I was asked by your predecessor, who had I led to Christ that week? It was a very sobering moment. I'll not tell you the answer. But it was a very, very challenging and sobering moment. There's a challenge that faces all of us in the church. And it's this, that we're to shine brightly. That we're to be like lights that lead others to Christ. That we're to give our whole lives. And I say to those of you who are being confirmed, give your whole life and every aspect of your living to shining brightly for Jesus. So that through your witness, through your example, through your words, through the things you say no to and the things you say yes to, through your conversations, through your life in the social places where you socialize, through your life in the places of education or your working lives or life of retirement, that you're actually speaking of Jesus, shining brightly for Jesus and leading others to Jesus. Most people, including the one you're looking at, became followers of Jesus because they saw Jesus shine brightly in some other people. The other thing about light is that it cheers up and brings transformation to gloomy, dark places. This is quite a gloomy world at times. We need to shine brightly. We need to be people who are full of the joy of the Lord, who actually just, I'm not talking about being happy, but I'm talking about having a meaning and a purpose to life that means that we continue to shine in the darkest moments of life. I was recently had occasion to visit a building. It was a building that I'd been in many, many years ago, but hadn't been back to until very recently. And as I walked through the building, there were these beautiful mosaics. As I walked through the building, there was some incredibly beautiful artwork. As I walked through the building, there was architectural things about the building that were really quite stunning. Now, the thing was this, all of those things had been present the last time that I walked through that building. The difference was that the building had a new light system installed. And the lighting in that building had changed absolutely everything. Friends, your life as a Christian, those of you being confirmed, your life as a follower of Jesus, and my life, needs to shine more brightly as the days pass, as the weeks turn to years, and as the years turn to decades, so that others see something of the beauty of who God is in us and through the lives that we live. Light also keeps us from stumbling and falling and getting into a mess and getting our lives messed up. Light keeps us from falling into harm or into danger. I'm going to tell you a story that I haven't told at any of the other confirmation services because it happened not far from here. Very, very close to here, actually. It was when I was a curate. I had occasion to call one night at the home of somebody. And it was quite late that I had occasion to call at this home. And there'd been torrential rain all evening. And it was still raining like cats and dogs, as they say, whenever I parked my car, jumped out of the car, and ran towards the house. What I didn't realize was that that day, the owner of the house had been digging a new cattle grid. Yeah, you're guessing. It was about 10, 12 feet wide, about 4 to 6 feet this way, and I reckon about 4 to 5 feet deep. You're guessing. Yes, the curate went headlong into the pit, into the hole, and into about 4 to 5 feet of water in his brand new McGee suit that he just put on that week earlier because he was running in the dark. He was running in the dark. And friends, those of you being confirmed, don't run in the dark. Don't walk in the dark. Don't hang around in the dark. Make sure that your life shines brightly for Jesus. Make sure that His Word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Make sure that the Holy Spirit goes on filling you beyond this evening, that you go on asking for more and more and more of His Spirit. The psalmist in Psalm 119 wrote this. He said, I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, so I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now, we can pretend sometimes in the church to be people of the word. Let's not just read it. Yes, please, read it and read it every day, those of you who are being confirmed and all of you. Read God's word every day. But do what it says. Put it into practice. Dig deep to discover what it's really saying to you so that you live it out day by day. We recently moved house. When you move house, you discover things that you thought that you'd lost. One of the things that I discovered was a book that I hadn't seen in many, many years. It was the biography of a man called Keith Green. And Keith wrote these words. He said, "O Lord, you're beautiful. Your face is all I seek. For when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. I want to take your word and shine it all around. But first, just help me live it, Lord. And when I'm doing well, help me to never seek a crown, for my reward is giving glory to you. O Lord, please light the fire that once burned bright and clear. Replace the lamp of my first love that burns with holy fear. Shine bright for Jesus. Shine like Jesus. Lead others to Jesus. Let your light so shine before others that they will see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Be salt, be light, and then finally and very briefly, we belong in the church to a new community. A city set on a hill, these verses tell us, cannot be hidden. This good life is a life that we live out together in community. We need one another. We need to bless one another. We need to strengthen one another. Those of you not being confirmed this evening will be asked a question later. And it's this. You've heard these our brothers and sisters respond to Christ. Will you support them in this calling? And we'll all merrily reply, we will support them. But friends, in the church there needs to be much more by way of supporting one another, strengthening one another, looking out for one another, building one another up, forgiving one another. A lot more by way of grace. A lot more by way of grace and truth. A lot more by way of us actually picking one another up. And so will you really continue to pray for those being confirmed? Will you really continue to actually come alongside them and say, how's it going? How's college? How's work? How's retirement? When last did you lead somebody to Christ? You'd only be able to ask that if you're in that business yourself. That's the sort of cutting-edge environment that the Church of Jesus Christ, it should be normal. It's normal church. It really is normal church. But as one Christian leader once said, we've been abnormal for so long that we've maybe forgotten what it means to be normal. And all I'm calling us to tonight is normal Christianity. I sometimes, in the dead of winter, because we've got a wee place in Donegal, I'll walk the beach late at night. And it's often cold and it's often very, very wet, but you know something, I can taste the salt as I walk the beach. Because the salt is all around. And as I walk in the semi-darkness, the stars will be shining, because they always shine in Donegal, I wish. But they'll often be shining, and there'll be light. And I'll see where I'm going, and I'll see the lights across the harbour, and I'll be able to look back over my shoulder at the house where that we've got in Donegal and so on. Friends, will this community, will those around you and around me, where you live and where I live, where you who are being confirmed will live in the years that lie ahead, whether it's in this land or in another place, will they really see Christ in you? I pray they will. Will they taste the salt? Will they sense something of that Christ-likeness in us as followers of Jesus Christ? They will. If all of us increase in the Holy Spirit more and more. If all of us earnestly and truthfully go on turning away from all that's dark and evil and wrong and continue all our lives to pursue following Jesus Christ. And if he isn't tonight at the very center of your life, then I would say just come to him. Give your life to him. Say you're sorry to him for leaving him out of your life. And tonight believe that he went to the cross for you. That he's living and alive today and wants to live in your life and mine. Be salt. Be light. Be a community together that make a significant and a real difference in the world for Jesus. Let us pray. In this little book by Keith Green, he ended with these words. Incidentally, he was killed in a plane crash at the age of 28, having written the song "There Is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's Own Son." And after his death by that awful accident, his wife Melody wrote the last verse: "When I stand in glory, we will see his face, and there we'll serve our King forever in that holy place." We're called to know Christ for all of eternity. He wrote these words: "The end of all my prayers is to care like the Lord cares, by one and only goal, his image in my soul. Yes, my weakness is revealed, but by his stripes I am healed. He's faithful and he's true to complete the work he begins in you. Lord, thank you for that work of grace that you've begun in so many lives. Thank you for that work of grace that you've begun in the lives of all of those who are being confirmed this evening. Thank you, Lord, that you go on meeting us with grace and, Lord, revealing to us your truth. Lord, may we be so filled with the grace of God and the truth of God that our lives more and more would reflect the beauty of God. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon your church here. Come tonight, Lord, and meet in a deep and a personal way with those about to be confirmed. Lord, so meet with them. So meet with them that they would know the presence of the risen Christ in a deep, deep way. And so bless your church here that, Lord God, we would shine brightly for you and that we would taste like Jesus. So pour out your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.